1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road Movies with Matt and Adam.
I am Matt.
And I am Adam. We are a movie pairing podcast. Every week we pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy he has not seen. Based on that theme, watch and discuss.
And we have a 25-year age difference, so we come each with a different set of films.
And this week the theme is all about that multi-plot.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Hard to pull off.
Yeah, you have to be a pretty good writer to pull it off well.
Is it the writing? Is that where you like landed on like that?
I think. I mean, you have to have a good cast. I mean,
well, okay.
You know, but it has to be well written. To
what do you think the writer has to pull off? Like, pull off, I guess is what I'll say. Like to like make it work.
Well, you have all these storylines that are kind of singular on their own, and but they all have to tie in at the end, you know, like does our first film. It really does, you know, it all ties in at the end. So that's what I think. What about what you thinking? It's acting or directing?
No,
or?
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I was also thinking about it from like a writer's perspective, and just the like, how do you balance like the weight of
each character?
Every story. Yeah, like, yeah. And how do you make it so, like, at the end, the audience is not like, God, I wish I knew more about, like, what Rick Moranis was thinking, you know, or whatever the fuck, you know.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I was just, both of these movies, I think, did it well. Mm-hmm. We'll get to, like, your opinion in a second. But I think they did it in different ways, if that makes any sense. But, yeah, just, like, that balance of, whose perspective are we using? How is it shifting? When is it? Mm-hmm. When is it the old man? When is it his daughter? When is it this person?
Right.
You know, like the second movie did it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. This movie was pretty much Steve Martin's perspective.
Yeah, I mean he was the center of the film, and in our second film, you know, the male lead was heavily in the center, but not so much.
Yeah, well, let's get to that when we get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so our first movie is
Parenthood. Steve Martin vehicle from 89, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
Have you ever seen this before?
No.
All right. So this...
I think I'd seen clips of it, but I'd never seen the whole thing.
This hit me right in that sweet spot where I was like 9, 10, 11, 12. This movie was like always on HBO or whatever, TNT, whatever the vehicle was back then. And like I've probably seen this movie 1,000 times.
Really? Wow.
Like
as a 9 or 10 year old,
yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like after 1994, I've never seen this movie.
Right.
And then I was like, actually, I was reading a book, and this movie was brought up. So I was like, oh, it kind of made me think about stuff. And I was like, okay, maybe I want to revisit this. And I was like, I think I asked you, you'd never seen it. I was like, okay,
yeah,
this is good. And then also, this is the kind of movie that I can watch with my wife.
Yes.
Like, no one got shot. There's no duplicitous dames.
I could have watched it with Gloria. I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I could have. I don't know. I just watched it by myself and watched it pretty much in one whole chunk. So, yeah.
There's no Japanese guy kicking hookers' heads off, you know?
Yeah, I kind of missed that. Yeah, I was telling her on the way back from... we were talking earlier. I said, yeah, nobody got murdered in our movies this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think. A bummer?
Yeah.
There was a shooter.
Yeah. A
potential future shooter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this movie is the story of Steve Martin basically figuring out, like, what does he want out of his life?
Right.
Do you want family? Do you want success? Do you want something else? Like, what is it?
I think what he doesn't want is to be like his father, mm-hmm. who was a complete asshole.
Jason Robards.
Brilliantly by Jason Robards.
Yeah, so this is my first Jason Robards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's one of the best.
So as a young man, I was like, oh, wow, what an asshole.
Yeah. Now you look at him, huh? Yeah, still an asshole.
Wasn't he? He was nice in something. Was he in 12 Angry Men?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't think
he should have been.
Yeah, he could have been. He should have been. Maybe he was in the second one. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, that's besides the point. Yeah. So, yeah, this movie's about Steve Martin trying to figure out, like, you know, I don't want to be my dad, essentially. And what is my relationship with my kids? He's got a kid who's got, like, an issue.
And he's got sisters and a brother who all have issues. Everybody has issues. And that's pretty much the way families are, I think, you know.
Right, so he's got his one sister who's single mother. Her husband left her. She's raising the daughter on her own. The daughter is...
Martha Plimpton, played by Martha Plimpton.
Mm-hmm. And she is what I imagine what her mother was like as a young woman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of a free spirit, a little bit, I would say promiscuous, but how can you not be promiscuous when you got Keanu Reeves right in front of you?
Keanu Reeves playing Keanu Reeves brilliantly.
He was great.
He was funny.
And then also a younger guy who, you know, future school shooter, but that never happens, thankfully. Just a kid who's just angry. He just camo, brown paper bag.
Played brilliantly by Joaquin Phillips. Joaquin Phoenix.
That's who that was?
Yeah, he's under the name, a different name, but he changed his name.
Holy shit, that was Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay, this, wow.
I was telling Gloria, I says, you know, I watch, you know, movies with kids in it, mostly you say, that kid is selling cars now. You know, that woman is working in a restaurant now. And I watched this and I said, that kid is one of the greatest actors this country has ever had.
I never did, but now you say it, like, it makes sense because, like, he was like a little kid with an old man head.
Right. He was. His name was Leaf Phoenix. That's his real name.
Okay.
His brother was River. Yeah. He's Leaf. Yeah. But yeah, that's Joaquin Phoenix.
Holy shit.
I mean, check out the movie and look at him. Go, oh yeah, there he is. Because he's got the kind of the hair lip a little bit. But I'm watching. I'm going, man. He is such a good actor at this age.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was telling Gloria. I said, man, this had Jason Robards and Joaquin Phoenix, two of the greatest actors this country's produced, and it's called Parenthood.
Hey, but okay, you say that, but
it's a light comedy. That's my reasoning, you know.
And I mean, I'm not trying to like be like sarcastic with this. Like Rick Moranis,
yeah,
who I know like no one's gonna say he's the greatest actor of all time, but he had a moment. He had like a 6-year run where he was big. He was big and.
And he's perfect for this part.
Yeah. Who hates Rick Moranis?
Yeah. Well, maybe he hated his character a little bit. He was kind of a jerk. But no, nobody hates him.
A jerk, but he did it well.
Yeah, he did it really well. Yeah.
Like, he was great in this role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then that's his family is, he's married to Steve Martin, another Steve Martin's sister. And
oh, Diane Wiest was another great actress.
Oh, yeah. 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 Dude, who is she? Like, I don't know her very well. I only know her for this movie.
She won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for one of Woody Allen's movies called Hannah and Her Sisters,
okay.
Which is really, really good.
Better than Parenthood?
Probably. Not as funny.
All right. Yeah, good job calling her out because she was amazing too.
Yeah, like, she was really good.
Like the early on in the movie, there's a blackout, and they're reaching for flashlights and stuff, and someone pulls out a dildo from her
her house
nightstand. Yeah, her reaction, classic.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
Some little kid's like, God, it's really big. And the old grandma's like,
oh, it's an ear cleaner.
Yeah.
She goes, what is that? It's an ear cleaner.
And the old grandma's like, it sure is big.
I like grandma.
Yeah, she was good. So then the other family is, it's Rick Moranis, his wife, and who's Steve Martin's sister, and they're raising this little genius is their deal. And then the other brother is Jason Robards' favorite son, could do no wrong.
Tom Hulse, who we know from Animal House and Amadeus, and who's no longer in the business, I don't believe. Yeah.
And his whole thing is he's always got a scam going, and he shows up with Cool.
Cool. A great name for a kid.
A little black kid.
Little mixed race kid, yeah.
Now, in my memory, Cool was the star of this movie.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But he's barely in it.
Yeah, he didn't get much screen time.
Yeah, in my memory, he had this outsized role. I'm like, God, remember when Cool showed up? But no, it just never hits. So the basic, what makes this movie work for, oh, actually, did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it had some pretty funny moments. It's a good story. I think the writing and the directing and everything, it's directed by Ron Howard. It all works.
You know that because there's his brothers in it.
His brother's in it, yeah, of course. But it all works. You know, it's not great, but it's funny. And it gives Steve Martin a chance. I mean, my favorite scenes were Cowboy Gil, you know, where the guy doesn't show up for the birthday party, so he has to take on the role as the cowboy.
Yeah.
And it was funny because of the whole balloon thing. He's one of the greatest balloon characters, blowers in the world. And in this movie, he just can't do it.
Cowboy Gil. And I'm slipping and sliding and roll their guts.
Yeah, it gave him a chance to be the Steve Martin that is funny. Mm-hmm. You know, the way he moves, you know, the voice and everything. Yeah, I thought that was funny. So, yeah, it works. I mean, yeah, and I can see how you liked it, especially as a kid. Yeah.
That is a good
point. It was better than I thought it would be.
That is a good point about that Cowboy Gil did get him. He could do a little bit of his stand up.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah.
He's so tight, you know, because he's supposed to be.
He's uptight. Yeah, yeah, he's really. And his wife tries to take care of that, but.
Another good scene.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's got a great cast, like I said.
So what I think this movie works writing-wise, if we want to talk about that, is that it keeps coming back to if I think about the chapter markers, it's these baseball games. We start at one as a fan, and then we keep going back to these little league games, and you can see sort of the progression of Steve Martin as a understanding, caring human being.
Right. Different from his father. He is growing up. If anything, he's got some problems, but anything, he grew up not to be like his father. Yeah, and those Little League games brought a lot of memories for me because, I mean, that was the most fun thing I ever did in my life was play Little League. And it kind of reminded me that I showed up with my teammate once at the end of a game. We were winning, bases were loaded, it was an easy fly ball to center field drops it, we lose. I get so mad, I throw my glove on the ground, I'm playing second base. My father is the second base umpire. He sees me do this. He picks me up, and I thought he was going to knock the shit out of me. But he starts screaming at me about showing up your teammates.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let me play in the next game. I had to sit on the bench. It would broke my heart, but I never showed up a teammate again. I mean, I try not to do that on a bocce court.
No, I mean,
sometimes you have to. No, that reminded me of, because I was kind of like the son there. I was having to, you know, I was playing baseball, but it was also one of the worst times of my life. I was so screwed up. I was really messed up.
Well, you make it sound like you were the good kid who, like, was, you were catching the balls and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I was. I was a good player. But later on, I lost the ability to throw the ball to first. I was didn't have any
young man confidence. With the yips?
Yep, I had the yips. I had the Steve Sachs or whatever, Steve Blass or whatever you want to call it. I couldn't throw it to first. I threw it over their head. I threw it in the ground. Just lost all, you know. And I was a really good all-star second baseman, but it just, you know, I was going through the same thing this kid was going through. Mm. Also, in another scene, where Ron Howard's brother, you know, and tells his son, whatever you do, if the ball goes near him, you go out there and catch it. So I did that. We had a right fielder who couldn't catch anything. So when it was a fly ball out there, I would run like hell, catch the ball. And now I feel really horrible about it, you know, because I showed him up.
How old were you?
10.
Well, I mean, okay, like, that's a 10, 11,
11. Yeah, right.
You're looking at points on the board. You're right, not right. Thinking about, yeah. Like, you're yeah. Not thinking, like, what does this other human feel about this right. Situation that just unfolded, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah. I think you can forgive yourself about that, man.
Oh, yeah, I don't feel too bad about it. You're not
carrying it. So.
Yeah, but, yeah, and, you know, everybody cheered and everything, but, you know, I showed Dennis up, and I just now, you know, I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about winning the game. So.
Where's Dennis now?
He's gone. He's passed away. It was a car accident.
Well, probably should have not shut him up. Maybe he'd still be alive.
But yeah, that was kind of cool watching. I think that's a big part of why I liked the movie was the whole Little League scenes. It kind of brought back both those kind of memories for me.
And I like them as like touch points. It's like, okay, we're starting here. We're moving on. You're getting a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. And then that final Little League scene where like Robard shows up and it's like, okay, it's the culmination.
Right.
And everything kind of comes together.
Yep. Yeah.
And also, another thing I liked about this movie is that Steve Martin was a dick. I mean, he wasn't always a dick. Like, you liked him, but
he could be a dick.
He was a dick to his wife. He's a dick to his kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had moments.
Yeah. Yeah, his kids had it. We're all kind of weird. But he was a dick to them. He was a dick to his brother.
What's his wife? Who's the actress that played his wife?
It is Harley Jane Kozak.
No, that's the actress who played his wife.
Oh, his wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's super famous.
Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, she's gorgeous, man.
She is. She's. Ted Danson's very lucky.
Oh, is that who?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
There's a couple moments in the movie, I was like, wow, she's just like flawless. Like, somehow around this time, Susan Sarandon became like the sex pot. And I'm like, why her?
Yeah.
Where's Mary Steen, whatever the
Steenburgen.
Hell?
Steenburgen, yeah. Like, yeah,
she's
yeah, yeah.
Way.
She's really hot.
More.
Yeah, yeah.
In my mind.
Do you ever see What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
As, what, 35 years ago, I saw
it? Yeah, like, she's pretty hot in that. Yeah.
Oh, she's in that?
Yeah, she plays the woman that keeps Johnny Depp bringing groceries over and they're having an affair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Might have to go check out the scenes on YouTube.
Leonardo DiCaprio is just—it's worth seeing because of him in that. But yeah, anyway, she's pretty hot in that movie too. She's always hot.
Yeah, probably still.
Yeah,
to this day.
Yeah, the other person I named, she played the other sister, and I don't know who she is.
Yeah, recognize. I'm like, oh, I've seen you in stuff, but I just didn't know. I don't know who she is.
She's famous for Arachnophobia.
I mean, I saw it.
Yeah,
as a
I saw
kid.
It. I mean, John Goodman, Parenthood, When Harry Met Sally. I don't remember her in that, but she's still working. So
she seems like a good friend of a romantic comedy lead.
Yes, a new Thelma Ritter.
I just remember, I imagine her like schlepping in with like some bags and like, oh, you wouldn't believe the day I had. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
The baseball, the whole how connected, everything connected.
Yeah, so
and
I like,
Steve Martin was a dick.
Steve Martin was a dick, and I like that. So his big conflict is like, is he going to have another kid, right? Which was kind of a tough subject, right? Like, do you ask your wife of however many years to have an abortion? That's not fair for a 1989 comedy.
Yeah. And he already thinks that he's screwed up his other kids.
Yeah.
So, and then he looks, who was the fourth kid in his family? The most screwed up kid.
Yeah.
His brother, Larry. Huh. You know, what am I going to have Larry here?
And also, I think, like, so, C. Martin has the oldest kid who's, like, a nice kid, just gets nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got the middle girl who had no screen time basically whatsoever. Uh-uh. And then you have the kid who's got, like, just banging his head and stuff. And
he was pretty funny.
He was funny. Yeah. And, like, I think that if it was – so that was three kids. The middle girl, I think, only was there to be a number.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's talking to his wife, he's like, oh, we're going to have our third kid. It's like, okay, you have your third kid.
Yeah.
But if you talk to people having fourth, that's like, I think most of America's like, fuck that. That's way too many.
Yeah, she doesn't really progress the story at all.
She doesn't have much to do.
You know, she doesn't, she's not, yeah.
She's like cute, whatever. Yeah. But
it's like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
So I think she was just like a plot device.
Right. And the little kid who was keep beating his head against the wall and all sorts of, he was compared to his cousin, who was the brilliant one.
Yeah.
You know, you want your daughter to grow up and be like him? You know, why not? I don't know. You're right. I think so, because she had so, she was not in the story. I can't remember anything she did except being in the play, and that was, the little kid stole that.
So. Yeah, exactly. So like, when you were growing up, did you have that experience where, like, different like cousins and stuff were all hanging out and doing like that whole thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we well, there was five of us. Mm-hmm. I was the middle child.
I know, y'all were massive.
Yeah, and I had, on my mother's side of the family, I had 42 first cousins.
Wait, hold on. On my, say that again.
On my mother's side, my grandparents.
You had 42 cousins.
My grandparents had 47 grandchildren.
You have 42 cousins. You had
I had 42 cousins on one side of the family. I think I had seven on the other side, but who I hardly even know, my father's side. But yeah, we used to come up from Florida and go to, you know, we'd have reunions, and there's like 35 of us, kids.
I mean, did y'all like know? I mean, we were like, oh, I can't wait to go see Johnny or whatever. Like,
I'm still very close to most of them. To a lot of them, not all of them, but yeah, most of them. Yeah, I drive out to Jamestown, New York to see my cousins. So
God,
I love
that's
them.
Crazy.
They're just the greatest people. Or Northeast Kingdom. I see them all over there. So yeah, it was great. Cousins were the best.
It's like low maintenance.
Yeah, you know, you just hang out. You know, we were on a farm, so whatever was going on, you know, we just go out and shoot guns, and we got old. You know, my younger cousin taught me how to ride a bike.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't
Your
ride a bike.
Younger cousin
my younger
taught me
cousin,
how to ride a bike.
Yeah, my cousin Scott. Yeah, he taught me. My brother Pete and I both had to ride
He's
a
like,
bike.
He's like, what are you, a wuss? Come on, ride a bike.
He's like 2 years younger than me, you know? So
that's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. I like this movie because like it really did show like that sort of that idealized family. I did not experience that at all. Like mm-hmm. I have a couple cousins. I'm not in contact with any of them.
Yeah.
I'm barely in contact with my brother. You know what I mean? So it's like we didn't have that big full relationship. Like I just sometimes fantasize about mm-hmm. that, like, oh, what if like I grew up in a city where all my cousins were there and my father's family was there. And it was like, because it was chaos,
mm-hmm.
but it also seemed very loving, you know?
One of the greatest things in my life was my cousins, to be honest with you. And I'm still really close to, like I say, a lot of them. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're great. They're like having brothers and sisters that you actually like.
Who do you think stole the show? Let's take Steve Martin off the board.
Okay, Steve Martin's off the board.
A lot of contenders here.
There is. I mean, it's a kind of a mixed thing. I don't know if anybody took the title.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a tag team, you know. I think Diane Wiest was wonderful.
Yeah.
As the sister. Jason Robards as the dick father. I really thought they should have. The whole mother was not in the.
Jason Robards' wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like.
I think it was supposed to, I got the feeling it was, she was portrayed as a wife who just got kind of beat down by her husband, not physically, but you know,
yeah,
he's in charge and, uh-huh, and he's an asshole.
Yeah.
So, but Rick Moranis was really, yeah, good in that part.
Yeah.
You know, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. I mean,
like, it's like I'm saying, I can't pick, you know, if you pick Steve Martin off the table, who I think is the star.
How about this? Who was the best kid? And I'm taking Joaquin off the board.
You better, because that's who I was going to pick.
Because he was like a...
He was a teenager.
He's a mid-teen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the little girl, the little smart girl, she was great.
She was.
She didn't blink an eye.
No.
I wonder if she's still working.
Yeah, look, I love that. Yeah, she. That's actually who I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Because she had the most to do.
Her name was Patty, I think, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Ivy Ann Schwan.
Selling cards in Middle America. She's really good. Actually, she's running a pharmaceutical company in Denver, and she's worth $8,000 million.
Yeah, she's only got 3 acting roles. Wow. And 2 of them are Parenthood. One was a TV show.
Oh, okay.
The other was Problem Child 2.
So. Ooh, not nearly as good as Problem Child, yeah, 1. You ever seen Problem Child 1?
I have not.
No. Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, but yeah, she was just a young girl. She was great.
Yeah.
I don't think you can't pick anybody who was bad. Tom Hulse was good. I mean, I know we're not talking about kids anymore.
You keep saying his name like I should know it.
Well, he was, you know, he back in the late 70s, 80s, you know, he was in one of the biggest movies of the 80s, which is Amadeus. I mean, he had not the lead role. He was Amadeus, but that's not the main character. Mozart isn't.
He was Amadeus?
Yes, he's Mozart.
You can just talk or whatever for a second while I sit back and just be like, what the fuck? Like,
oh, Cole's, yeah. Well,
dad was Amadeus? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but, you know, that's who he was, you know, Tom Hulse. But and then he hasn't really, like I said, he's not even acting anymore. So.
Hmm. Heroin?
Moved to Canada? I don't know.
Drugs? What's going on here?
But, yeah, but he mostly remembered, I think, for Animal House is one of the guys in the house. No, one of the many.
Yeah, we're running late, and I feel like we've just had like a rambling conversation about this movie, which is fine. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we, it's like kind of like on brand. But to circle back to like where we started, I just really appreciated this movie from the perspective of managing all of these plots. Everyone's, they're not getting equal weight, mm-hmm, but they're getting proper
they're
weight.
They're getting some weight.
Like, they're getting proper weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it all just, it all made sense. And, like, in the next, it starts out with this movie without talking about the next movie. In the next movie, like, it really depends on the oldest or the middle daughter,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of the hinge point. This one, it's Steve Martin, I guess, but I don't know. It was just, it just felt very fluid and, mm-hmm, effortless that, like, you're just kind of peeking in on, like, this family just doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it, yeah, I agree. Huh. It was well done. The ending's, you know, good clean wrap-up, good feel story, but, you know, yeah. It was a funny movie, you know. Not airplane funny, but what is.
Right. Good point, Matt. It's not the funniest comedy of all time, but okay.
No, it's not even on the list. But
right.
But it's funny enough. It's amusing. It's got a good story.
It's, yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. It's funny enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny enough. But also, like, I was kind of touched watching, mm-hmm, it. I don't know about, sure, you. Like, mm-hmm, I felt like, yeah, oh, okay. It was a very emotional movie.
It brought back a lot. Like I said, it brought back memories for me that some weren't very good. So, have you ever seen the second one, the remake?
No.
Oh, no. No chance.
Yeah.
Steve Martin in it? No. Other than no.
Who's in it? Is Steve Martin in it? No. Who's in it? Like, I don't trifle with sequels.
Yeah, I don't know.
So having said everything that we said about like how the movies were touching, also included a young Adam's first introduction to Roadhead.
Oh, yeah. Roadhead.
So there's that.
Yeah. Did you know at the 10-year-old what that was?
10-year-old, I have no idea. I'm like, why did they wreck their car? I had no idea. Watching it again, I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, these are things people do. But, yeah, she was not into it.
I can't find it.
So are you looking up Parenthood 2?
Yeah. Oh, that's a show. Oh, here it is. Ed Begley.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Talk about, like, the freaking, like, B-minus Steve Martin. That's Ed Begley Jr., right? Like,
Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, this is a show.
What are we doing here, Matt?
I don't know. I keep getting the wrong one.
That's fine.
Yeah. Anyways, there is another one.
And we will never speak about it on this show. No. It does not exist.
No.
But as a multi-plot movie, I thought this was... I mean, cause I was like, oh, I want to watch this again. It was surprisingly really, really good
yeah.
in my mind. Like, I think I we're about to talk about the scores. I think my score is way higher than mm-hmm. yours. Like, I thought this was, like, really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like capturing that,
and it's nice that you know the 10-year-old Adam who saw it repeatedly still loves it.
Oh yeah,
because that's not the case all the time.
No. There's often a bunch of garbage, but okay. Let me look this up real quick. So, what do you think about Parenthood,
the score?
Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
No. I'm good. I think it's worth seeing. It's good family fun. You can watch it with your wife. You know, nobody's murdered. But especially I think if you're a Steve Martin fan, because he never gets out of control like he can sometimes. But he's really good in this.
Also, if you're a Rick Moranis fan,
mm-hmm. yeah.
like the. All my Moranis fans, Moranis heads, stand up. All the Mary Steen virgins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. What do you think about the score?
Right, I'm going to go
53,000.
I'm going to go 7-2.
7-1. See, I think this is like 7-5.
Yeah.
Maybe 7-4. Maybe 7-4.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not too far off.
Because if we think about like this. Like this genre, mm-hmm. like it's really effing good.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife and I were like laughing. I was kind of choked up at points. Like it's hard to do all of those things in a movie.
And they don't make these kind of movies anymore.
No.
They're not funny.
No.
You know, they're not touching. They're not, you know, I was telling Gloria the other day, I said, comedies in America are a joke.
Well, now they're just like raunchy.
Yeah, they're just raunchy.
It's like dick,
yeah,
dick.
They don't
dick.
Have. Yeah, it's the same guys are doing them all. Mm. You know, I mean, not all of them. There's some of them are still pretty good, but I watch British comedy, which is funny. French is really good. Italian is good. You know, but the films, and I just don't find American films all that funny. After this period, I think. You know, the 90s maybe hit, but after, you know, since the 2000s, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty crass overall. I mean, the cowboy dance scene enough. Like,
Cowboy Gil? Yeah.
Cowboy Gil, sorry.
Yeah.
Even before that,
mm-hmm.
there's a scene where they are beating the hell out of a pinata.
Right.
And that.
Yeah, and that's Steve Martin.
That made me laugh so
right,
hard.
Right.
And I was watching it, I was trying to think, like, that's like you said, like, Steve Martin's idea. That's mm-hmm. Steve Martin made that idea.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's so funny, but it's also so subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all real easy at first. The kids are hitting it or missing it. You know, he's even taking the blindfolds off the kids so they can hit it. And he's hitting it. He's got a saw out. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. That's Steve Martin. You know, he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's the, you know, film loves him.
Yeah, he's pretty much undefeated, right?
Right. Well, I don't know. Yeah, he did a lot of great comedies right around that. You know, Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid.
Never seen that. Never heard of that.
Yeah. It's a takeoff on film noir. So it's pretty good.
Put in the bank, man.
Yeah, I forget about that. Roxanne, great love story.
I love Roxanne so much.
Yeah.
Again, this is a movie I've seen 1,000 times, mm-hmm. have not seen once since 1994.
The writing in that is so good.
I was just like, oh, this is what firefighters are like? Yeah. I have no idea. Like, yeah. They're all sensitive gentlemen. I have no, Yeah.
So anyways, that's Steve Martin right around that time was doing great comedy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's get to the score so we can.
Sorry, Matt. Let's get to it.
Tomatometer.
Yeah, Tomatometer. We have only 60 reviews.
I'm gonna go 84.
92.
All right, good.
I'm on the side of history here, yeah. And then audience 25,000 people checking in.
90.
76.
Ooh.
You know, fuck the people. They don't know. You dummies. You don't know what you don't know what you have.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah. Ignoramuses. All right, so this is the critics' consensus. Bolstered by a delightful cast, Parenthood is a funny and thoughtfully crafted look at the best and worst moments of family life that resonates broadly. Okay, that was clearly written by a robot.
Right,
that
right.
means nothing.
AI chat. Yeah. All right, well, if I got to say, you know, everybody should watch it.
It is one of those movies where, like, I think even if you're... If you're a 40-something dad, mm-hmm. and probably you have children who are of age to consume movies, watch it with them. Like I think it'll resonate. Like
right,
I don't know.
I think they'd enjoy it. I think introducing your kids to Steve Martin is a good thing.
It's never too early for Steve Martin.
Yeah. No.
All right, man, you ready for a break? And yeah. We'll come back and talk about Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Woman. Yeah.
All right.
I was born to make you happy. I think it's just my style. Everywhere I go, telling everyone I know, baby, I love to see you smile. Don't want to take a trip to China. Don't want to sail up the Nile.
All right, we're back. Our second multi-plot movie of the week. I'm not sure we even said that was the theme. Can't remember.
But I think that's what it was. So.
The second one is from Taiwan.
Taiwan, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, this did not feel like
Ang
China.
Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of Ang Lee's early films.
Yeah. It's Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was watching this with my wife, and we're like, I was like, is this China? And then there's the Christian scene. I'm like, that ain't China.
No, that ain't the China. No, no.
So this is the story of a family again.
Mm-hmm.
A chef.
Yeah.
Oh. So I thought that might catch your eye a little bit.
Well, I saw this when it first came out. I hadn't seen it since. So...
It came out in what, 1994?
Okay. Mid-90s. I mean, I'm just talking about that first 5 minutes of the film when he's cooking a Sunday dinner.
Oh, man.
I would kill for that meal.
Yeah. There is food porn in this movie in a way that's like maybe unexpected. And you're just like, mm-hmm. God dang, like, can I just like get this guy to like come over for a night? But yeah, this is a movie about a aging chef, single aging chef, which I don't even know if that would be considered controversial, you know, as far as that time in East Asia.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. Especially the way that ends. And his three daughters and how they are... They seem to have affection for their father, but they are each individually frustrated with him and each other.
Correct. They're not cohesive at all. You know. And the father's, you know, very grumpy and stern. And he wasn't always like that, but, you know, he's just not very warm. Although the center of the movie is Sunday dinners, which him being a chef, he puts this spread out that's unbelievable, but they all have to show up. They all feel like they have to show up no matter what they're doing.
Yeah. I might throw you off of this question, Matt, so feel free to just pass. Do you have a love language? Do you know what I mean when I ask that question?
No.
Okay. So there's like several love languages. I express my love with acts of service, kind words, time spent together, and there's like two others. And so this guy is definitely like acts of service. Like he shows his love through cooking, right?
For other people.
Yep. That's his love language. And his daughter's love language is, it just don't necessarily jive, right? Like,
right. Well, one did, but he wouldn't allow it. She wanted to be a chef, and now she's a big, works for an airline somewhere. Yeah, is not happy.
Right.
And she and his father, her father won't allow her in the kitchen. So. But the other two, yeah.
And I love that we start this movie with they're already criticizing him. Like, it's like, oh, this is, oh, you forgot this. And it's interesting because right from the jump, he's taken down a peg.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's...
Yeah, yeah. They say you've lost your taste.
Yeah. And that's the thing he was saying. Like, you know, he tastes. Like, was that a thing? Is that just like a thing that happens to like people as they age? They lose their taste? Matt, well, I just think
that these kids had grown up with this food, and they were probably just as knowledgeable as the father after watching him do this all these years, and they know when something doesn't taste the same way. You know, as we get older, we lose taste a little bit. So his taste was off.
Yeah, his taste.
But I also thought that was a, you know, kind of a good plot line to get him. Take him down a little bit.
Yeah, it's they take him down, and then at the same moment, he gets raised up. He gets called in from this restaurant,
right?
Which I was unclear if he worked for the restaurant.
He did.
I thought he was
Sunday
consultant.
Was his day off.
Oh, so it was
his day.
Okay, so they bring him in. There's a general here.
Right, right.
We need to bring you in to like actually make the menu.
And they screwed up everything already. Yeah. He comes in like Superman.
He comes in, he looks at the ingredients, he's like, okay, this, mm-hmm. do it like this, and he fixes it.
Everybody's happy.
So he's the man outside of his home.
Right.
In his home, he's the old loser who lost his taste.
Yeah. So. And they don't really want to be around him anymore.
Yep. But I think even more than the previous movie, like, Parenthood did have, like, that kind of, like, set structure of, like, baseball. This one had like these like recurring scenes, gags, bits, whatever you want to call them, and I thought was like really helped ground it. Like, so we had every morning he was waking his daughters up, even though they don't like him. He's still like
he yells at them.
Well, he yells at them. Like, you think about it that way, maybe this is my age showing, but also like, if he's not there, what, you're going to be late for work?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's waking them up. Like, you don't have an alarm clock? Like, he's
right.
Your alarm
yeah,
clock.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're getting, like, your dad waking you up, you know?
Be a professional. Get up.
Yeah, like, figure it out. So I like that.
Yeah.
And then also, like, the Sunday dinner, as you said. And then the, I have an announcement.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, he goes out for, he jogs, goes and gets massages, things like that. Mm-hmm. Then, in another big part of the story is when he helps out one of his daughter's friends and her daughter.
Okay. Be honest. Mm-hmm. As soon as that woman showed up with her short hair, did you know that they were going to end up together? I was like, they're hooking up.
No.
I had it. I was like, nope, okay, that's clearly. There was a vibe between mm-hmm. them that just made sense. It's just like,
well, now that the announcement, I go, oh, yeah, there was. There was a kind of very much respect between the two of them.
But it was like respect, but it wasn't just respect. It was like mm-hmm. affection.
Right. And he was so kind to her daughter.
Yeah.
Wasn't even his daughter, granddaughter.
Yeah.
You know? And then he puts up with her mother, the woman's mother.
Smoking 1,000 cigarettes right in his face.
Right.
So I guess we'll kind of briefly talk about the plot. Like, yeah. It's a long show. So there's three daughters. Oldest one is somewhat, is it okay to say prudish?
Is that okay? Yes, well, she's religious.
I always hate to equate those two because
yeah, I know. But
you know, some of those Catholics really like to bang, man. You
know? Like, I know. So I'm a Catholic.
Those are bang. So okay.
Yeah,
so,
but no, but that's part of it. She was prudish.
Yeah,
she was the oldest. She also wasn't all there, I don't think.
And also maybe like overwhelmed by a sense of
duty.
Yep, being the mother,
taking care of the father after the mother's, and the oldest one would usually do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm not the oldest. You aren't either. So
no, my mother was, that's what happened to her. She was the oldest girl. She was the second oldest child. So she ended up taking care of her brothers and sisters all the time. It was a big farm family. There was 10 kids. And then during the summer, when she got old enough, she got shipped out to other families to take care of kids.
God damn.
And then she had 5 of her own. And she told me, this is a true story. On her, you know, a couple of days before she died, she told me that she said, "No offense, but one of my biggest regrets was having kids." She goes, "I love all of you, but I wanted to do other things." But you know, in that time and era, I said, "That's okay, Mom. I understand."
She's like, "You know what would have been more fun? Smoking a cigarette on the back of a motorcycle in France."
Yeah. Right, right. She wanted to be a writer. She wanted to be a teacher. She didn't, you know, she was just an old farm girl from, you know, the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. And in late 40s, you took care of, you got married and was miserable.
Well, without being miserable, I think that most people can relate to the idea of like, you don't just get to do what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not that you're miserable, yeah. But hopefully she.
But I also think that's the oldest daughter, that's her duty, is to take care of the father. And that's what's driving her crazy.
And also, I thought it was smart to, like, couple that sort of fidelity, like, family fidelity with religion. Mm-hmm. Like, of course you would find that because you weren't brought up with that. You found it later.
Yeah. That's not her father's religion. That wasn't her mother's religion. That's your religion.
It gives you cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Middle daughter... sometimes we are sexist on this show, Matt, and I'm mm-hmm. sorry if I'm doing that, but clearly the prettiest
mm-hmm.
person in this movie.
Supposed to be.
Oh.
No, I mean, for the plot, I think, yeah. You know, and later on, she isn't the prettiest.
Yeah. So she's the prettiest person
mm-hmm.
in the movie, and she's got the highfalutin career, right?
Right.
She's doing something that, like, I always like watching a movie where I'm like, oh, that's a job. I didn't realize that existed.
Right.
She's, like, determining airline routes.
Right. Like, whether and how to figure out how to make money off them and all those things.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, I guess a person gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. So anyway, so she's determining that.
And she's only, like, the only woman in the room.
Yeah. Well, man, it's 1990s Taiwan.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she's doing that, and then she's also, like, the least connected to her father.
And it wasn't always like that. Mm-hmm. She was the most connected at one time.
Right.
But her father, like I say, wouldn't allow her in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. He's pushing her away. Mm-hmm. He wants her to do more.
Right.
And then the youngest, who is just kind of like, I think in this movie sort of got like the short shrift of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't have a lot to do, but I enjoyed her plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like her sort of like accidentally stealing her friend's boyfriend.
Yeah, accidentally. But that was realistic, I thought.
I thought so, too.
You know, she's working at Wendy's.
I love that there's Wendy's in Taiwan.
Yeah, there's a Wendy's, you know, and it's her and her friend. And it's just, you know, it seems real.
Yeah. And she's, and so when I was first watching, I was like, oh, she must be like 14. I was like, oh, no, she's like 20.
Mm-hmm.
She's also like an adult.
Right.
Like,
but if when you first look at her, you don't think so. I thought she was like 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But later we find out she's not.
Yeah.
And so I'm not even sure how to like continue like the plot of the story, like, because it does branch off and like things like sort of cycle back. We keep coming back to him waking them up. Keep coming back to Sunday dinner. Maybe it makes sense to like talk about each plot separately. I don't know. What do you think about it?
Well, the one thing we want to mention is the oldest daughter, who believes that her heart was broken by this guy. And it turns out he ends up working with her sister.
Now, does she believe that, or is she lying about that?
Well, I don't know if she's lying about it. I'm sure she's lying about it, but she maybe by now she believes it, you know, because it explains, you know, she doesn't want another man.
Yeah. But yeah, to me that was just sort of like that cover of, mm-hmm. well, I'll just throw this dude under the bus because who will ever see him again?
Yeah,
you know, like
he shows up,
and so he's working with the middle daughter,
right?
And they have a bit of a romantic engagement.
Just a quick one. Yeah. That's not what you're thinking. It was just a, you know. But yeah. And then And then he told her, you know, she said something about, you know, you broke my sister's heart. He's going, what? What are you talking about? Who?
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if like we were supposed to like think of that as like, as the audience, should we be questioning his honesty? I took him at face value.
I didn't question it at all. I think he's telling the truth.
Okay. That's how I did. But I wasn't sure like if we were supposed to be like, maybe this guy is just like really full of shit. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like, no, the older daughter was just sort of, you know, like it's a, I mean, this whole movie is about like these stories we tell ourselves, right? Like, mm-hmm. She told herself that story, like, I'm this kind of person, and then she just kind of just became it.
Right.
The father said, like, you know, I'm just going to be an alone, miserable old cook, and he just became it.
Mm-hmm.
The middle daughter's like, I'm the person who must be different and carry on this, you know, like, people just become the stories themselves.
Highest succeeder kind of thing, you know, yeah.
So the, well, I guess we'll start youngest because she was first.
Mm-hmm.
So we... Every Sunday dinner, we get a new announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved this construction.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's believable. And it's, like, consistent. It's
Where
like,
else it's would
a,
you do it?
Yeah. It's like, I have an announcement. You know, it's like, people standing up. Like, yes.
It's like the one time you're together all week. You had to make the announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we find out the young daughter who stole her coworker's boyfriend.
Got married. Right?
Pregnant, getting married.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting that a lot of like the quote unquote action totally off screen.
Right.
Like we never saw
anything. We knew they were getting romantically involved, but we never saw any of it.
Same room.
Yeah. Yeah. But we didn't have to see any of it.
There was no like, him like pushing her bra strap off her shoulder. Mm-hmm. It was just like, no, we don't need to see that.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
You don't need to see it.
Mm-mm.
And it's great when it surprises you.
Yeah. Because we were as surprised as the father and the family, you know?
Yeah.
Then the next one, the older, sister who had been sort of interested in this volleyball guy, and there were like these love letters left on her desk, and like it was like this pretty weird situation.
And she didn't know if they're from him because he kind of gives her the glad eye when he sees her, you know. So she's interested, but you know.
But they were not. They were it was a prank based on some kids that she slided earlier. But yeah, he's still into it. Still into her. So.
Yeah. Right.
They're getting married. Yeah. And we end up with just this, the middle sister and the father.
Who's got a job, a promotion to go to Stockholm or someplace, you know, to work as a vice president or something. But she doesn't do it. Her father sells the house to her, right?
Because he's hooked up with his oldest daughter's friend.
Yeah.
And again, brilliant writing. It all goes back to that first scene where he gets this phone call. And he's like, no. There's like some negotiation in the phone call. And you're like, what is that? And then the rest of the scene and everything just starts happening. You kind of forget about it. And then you look back, you're like, oh, he's talking to that woman. Like, he's trying to like tell her, like, let's just tell them today.
Right.
And she's like, no. So,
yeah.
I love like a nice bow.
Kind of subtle. Yeah. Way of letting us know if we're paying attention. Or we remember things. Oh, yeah. I love when movies do that to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, now I see it.
Right.
Yeah.
When you watch the second time, you're like, oh it's all so clear now. Yeah, I do also appreciate that.
Yeah, I think Ang Lee's always really good, pretty much everything he does.
Man, Ang Lee. Some of the best movies... Some of the dog shit work.
He's got some horse shit movies.
Does this dude have gambling debts? Like, what the fuck is his deal? Like, what the hell? Like, I mean, I can't think of anyone who's like that up and down.
Right.
I mean, he's the Nick Cage of directors. Is that fair?
Yes, because he's got some fantastic films and he's got garbage.
He made one of the worst. Yeah, I think we talked about this on this podcast. Was it Gemini Man?
Gemini Man.
One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Does he have gambling debts?
He's awful. He's awful.
He is so bad. That film is just awful.
But this movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I think so.
Okay. We forgot to ask, like, did you like it?
No, of course I loved it.
Yeah. It's a family story centered around food.
I actually loved it more the second time I saw it.
Yeah.
You know, cause I hadn't seen it since. I mean, I saw it in the theater, you know, right down at
San Fran?
No, it's here in the Nickelodeon. It's the Roxy now, I think it's called, downtown. So,
when you say Nickelodeon, I feel like.
Yeah. We're in there.
You're a billion years old. And
I first moved here, that was the name of the theater.
Okay.
Yeah, so. And then I always go out to I don't want to get into that.
Matt, where else are we going to get into it?
The guy who worked in the parking lot next to the movie theater. He's like this movie savant.
I think he's a professor over there at UVM now.
No. He had no desire to be anything except a parking. You know, he did it until they finally laid them all off, I think. Because I always leave the movies and go talk to him. He'd ask me how it was. You know, maybe he'd seen it. He was really interesting. So, anyways, that's at the Nickelodeon. But no, this Ang Lee's, the writing's tight. The stories, everything connects. Everything works.
Even like those
nothing's out of place.
Even like those scenes where like he's like walking through his house to wake people up, and he has fewer people to wake up. Like, I don't know if it's like my inner like desire for things to be like systematic, but like it's so it seems like something that people would actually do, but also it's like a really good way to like sort of, I like a movie that has like the same kinds of sequences, mm-hmm. but are slightly different based yes. on the happenings of the plot, you know? And it was really great.
Because they're not repetitious. You know, there's some movies that are that do it repetitiously. It doesn't change. These change slightly each time. You know, and it keeps your interest.
We should talk about the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, you are on record for being notoriously anti-kid in movies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had a good day, right?
Yeah.
We had some really good kid actors in the first one. And this kid is fantastic.
Yeah, I'd agree. Good kid actors all around. Even the little kid putting his head against the wall a couple right. times, like whatever that was in Parenthood. He's a good kid. He's a who's that? Is that Johnny Depp now? Who's that kid?
Yeah. Didn't even know that was Joaquin Phoenix.
All right, so you even like the kid actors. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked everything about this film.
When you were watching them making the food, was there something you were like, oh, I could probably make that?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I always thought, oh, I could eat that.
Okay, yeah, of course I could eat that. Yeah, I don't know, like, it's a Taiwanese food. Taiwan is a place where, yeah, they cook some kind of oil that makes me want to vomit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's just me. Other stuff is really great. You know, it's just this one smell that happens in street stalls. Looks like you're looking up something, Matt.
I was looking up the actress who I think played, what was her name?
Oh my God.
Was it Rachel?
Freaking idea. The middle child?
No, the young girl. I was looking up and said she was still working. The child actress.
This is a good question.
I'm sorry.
I don't think her name is Rachel. I think Rachel was the middle child. Yeah. But
I don't know. Anyways.
Furiously typing. let me see.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Well,
but she was wonderful. And the old man.
He was good.
Yeah.
He must have done a ton of stuff. I just don't know what it was.
Well, this Taiwanese films were just becoming popular in this country at that time. Like, he did a movie called, the movie he did, Ang Lee did before this, is called The Wedding Banquet,
mm-hmm.
which is always, is also very good. A lot like this one.
So you saw that also?
Yeah.
Is it similar? Is it multi-plot? Kind
yes.
of?
Well, it's mostly about this gay couple who want to have a wedding banquet, but their parents, Taiwanese.
Wow,
so they put this fake wedding on.
So he's just pushing the fucking boundaries,
yeah,
huh?
I think so. I think that's what was the plot, yeah.
Is Ang Lee gay?
No idea.
I mean, either. Because he did Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Is, you know.
He might be.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, we are going long.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess the scores? We have 22,000 people checking in on IMDb.
7.5?
7.8.
Whoa. It's up there.
I think, okay. Well, let me finish my thought and then I'll ask you a question. I think this is the kind of movie that you don't stumble across.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that people direct you to it and then based on that, you're more likely to give it a higher rating. Here's my question for you. Is it better than Parenthood?
It's just different. You know, it's not a comedy, for one thing. I don't think so.
It's funny.
Kind
moments,
of funny, yeah, in its own way, but it's more of a drama, I think. with great food.
I don't know. But that's what was Parenthood on the scale?
It was like 7-1.
Yes. That's too big of a difference.
Like, I think that if you are an Asian person, which is, okay, let me try to make it more specific. If you're in Taiwan and you watch this movie, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. But if you watch Parenthood, you're like, oh, wow, that's mind-blowing.
It might be the same. The same thing.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's the exoticness of it maybe contribute to the inflated score.
Did your wife like this?
She loved both of these movies.
Oh, good.
But actually, I would say that she liked Parenthood more. She thought this movie was like, oh. But we watched this one first.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was like, oh, that was cute. That was fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, there's no bullet holes in anyone. So she was kind of down with that.
You got a lot of laughs in the second one.
Yeah.
If you watch Parenthood.
Yeah.
You remember that.
Yeah, I think she liked Parenthood more, but it's hard to say because, like, I mean, Taiwan is not Korea, but she probably felt more, like, everything happening in this movie was more familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's just like, yeah, like.
Yeah, okay. Bad thoughts.
The things that, the things that we think are, like, interesting are, to her, are second nature, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say. But, all right, so 7.8 on IMDb.
That's good.
Going over to the tomato meter, we have 50 reviews.
94.
88 critics.
Really?
Low.
That is low.
Audience, 10,000 plus.
I'll go 88.
92.
Hmm.
Audience likes it. Yeah, I don't know what to say about those ratings.
Like, I don't know.
They don't really make a lot of sense to me. All right, I'll just do the consensus real quick before we get out of here. A richly layered look at the complex interactions between a widowed chef and his daughters. Ang Lee's generational comedy offers filmgoers a tasty cinema. Yeah, this is nothing. Yeah. It means nothing. These are two terrible.
Yeah, like consensus.
The AI is failing.
I bet that's what it is today. Yeah, used to be better.
Well,
yeah. Just depends on the movie.
All right, so Matt, next week we are getting dark.
In honor of Oppenheimer coming out, we're going to do a couple of nuclear?
How do you say it? Nuclear?
Okay. Movies, Failsafe and On the Beach. So we're going to do a couple older films.
I haven't seen neither. Matt has maybe seen one.
Failsafe. I've never seen On the Beach.
Right, so, yeah, buckle up and.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
He's a Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
But I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what you do here in effect is count boners.
Control. It's fun.